It's time for Out and About with Elaine. Join Elaine as she goes out and about and discusses your weekend, entertainment, fun, or just life in general. Give her a call now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. Now, here's Elaine.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche, and you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Today we are mourning the passing of our former mayor, Judith Robbins, and I did take a pulse of Attleboro. I did talk to at least 9 folks, and everyone seemed to have a wonderful, fond memory speaking to Mayor Robbins and how she helped them or their family members, and that's really true. In our city, I can feel the heaviness, the sadness over the city. Everywhere I go, people aren't as, you know, they're not as bubbly. They're really affected by the death of our beloved Mayor Robbins. And for me, I have a personal story that I'd like to share with you right now. She was very smart, and I used to come to her for advice on how to institute a new smoking policy and enforcement in the city of Attleboro. I worked for the city of Attleboro in 2000 to 2003. You see, I wrote a grant for North Attleboro, and I wrote another grant for the city of Attleboro, a $1.3 million grant. And when I went to the city, I had a meeting with her to talk to her about the logistics of this grant. She was hesitant at first, but once I explained the city would not pay any salary to me or my staff and that I was fully funded by the Department of Public Health, she told me that I had a long road ahead of me to get folks to support such a program, and she was right. But I did meet with the public leaders as she advised me, city council, school committee members, even the chief of police, the superintendent, and local teachers to get their input and buy-in how to run this comprehensive program. And it did work. Attleboro became a leader in tobacco prevention and community organizing, and I couldn't have done it without our beloved dear officer Steve Shepard's help, too. Attleboro was recognized in Massachusetts and on a national platform, and I couldn't have done it without our mayor's support and guidance. I know that Tony Viveros will be in at 7:35 after Jim Corbin's report to give us an update. There is a memorial service being planned right now for Wednesday at 6 p.m., and our current Mayor Dumas is hard at work, you know, talking to all city and family members to prepare a most heartfelt, moving tribute to Mayor Robbins. She was the second female mayor in the city and served for 12 years. So, like I said, in the latter part, Tony will be coming on and be talking more about this extraordinary lady that I had the opportunity and privilege to work for. And also, too, there were many nights when she would come out of city council. She would come upstairs and get her coat, and she'd come into my office and she'd say, "What are you still doing here?" I still remember her voice in my head. And she'd say, "Come on, let's go. Tomorrow's another day." She was just really amazing, and I can't tell you how many times we'd walk out into the parking lot together. So, all right, right now we've got to shift gears. I know it's really hard. We'll talk more about it later in the show. Good morning, Mike.
I have a question. Who was the first mayor that was, do you know? No?
I want to say Harold Sweet.
No, but no, if anyone the first woman mayor.
Yes.
You said Judith Robbins was the
Brenda,
second.
Brenda Reed.
When did she serve?
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot.
I know, I'm asking you two tough questions.
No,
there.
I don't want to even go there.
You know who might know this? No. All right.
We're not going there. Okay, listen. Last week I had a really good time. I seen Dominic and his lovely bride. I did see a lot of folks from the community and a lot of city workers at the VFW barbecue last week. We had a wonderful time. I want to thank Ed Stanton, who is very involved in Veterans Affairs, and Jim Jones giving us the complimentary tickets. I seen Connie and Tom from the vet's office. And also, it was just really great to see Vicky, who works in the mayor's office and has since retired. Everybody was upbeat and cheerful on Sunday, and it's amazing how one day difference could just change in a heartbeat. I also wanted to tell you that Thursday night I did go out and about and see the group Boston. Oh my God, it was just really unbelievable. They sang More Than a Feeling and Amanda. And I swear to God, those are the only two songs that I could really understand, because the noise level at Mohegan Sun was just really so loud. And a friend of mine and I, we really enjoyed the after party, as they say, as we went to the Lansdowne Pub and had appetizers and singing Piano Man. They had karaoke that night. And no, I did not sing, but I sang with a group, let's just put it that way. It's a little bit safer, I think. Sunset Time, Jim Corbin will tell you, we're losing minutes every week, and this week is no exception. Sunset Time right now is at 7:46 p.m. If you play the lottery, Mass Daily is 2657. Rhode Island Daily number is 9971. Mass Cash, 13, 15, 31, 32, and 34. Mega Millions, 12, 15, 20, 52, 71. The Mega Ball is 3, and the Mega Plier is 4. Here are some out-and-about activities, and there are a ton of them. It was so hard to pick just a few, but here we go. Today through September, Thomas the Train will pull into Edaville Railroad in Carver. I mean, this is going to be just a really amazing, fun, family fun activities. It starts today, and they call it Thomas Land Theme Park. And it's hosted a day long. It's called A Day Out with Thomas the Train. And the events have been going on for over 10 years. Thomas Land will feature 14 rides based on Thomas the Train track engine. And some of his friends are even here, too. So you can come on down to Edaville and check it out. And it's a 20-minute train ride along Thomas the Train, along a beautiful scenic trail. They also have all kinds of different rides. And they even have a roller coaster. Oh, my goodness. A Ferris wheel. And they even have a lot of bouncy houses for family. It's a great family fun event. So if you're not doing anything and you want to do something so different and so much fun, head on out to Edaville Railroad in Carver. It's really great. Oh, my God, one of my favorite bands is coming tonight. Today, Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reef Band returns to Xfinity Center in Mansfield Saturday night. That's right. Jimmy's been celebrating in Margaritaville for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine? Man, he must have gone through a lot of flip-flops and drinking a lot of cans from those flip-tops. And if you're interested in the power of love, and you have to go to the Heart of Rock and Roll, because this is it. Huey Lewis in the News is actually opening up for Jimmy Buffett. Now that's going to be one heck of a show. Two bands for the price of one. And this is the best part. You can even bring the kids to the concert and you can understand every single word. There's no swearing. It's just really a great, fun, very upbeat concert. If you're looking for something really more, a little bit more intense, Motley Crue is also playing tonight at the DCU Center in Worcester. Alice Cooper will open for them, and I'll just leave that. Last night, Alice in Chains was playing at Foxwoods, and I'm not talking about a Julie show. Saturday, right now, actually it starts at 1 o'clock today, and this is a really great fundraising event. It's called Friends Helping Friends in Need, Cancer Sucks Summer Bash. It starts at the North Attleboro Elks Hall on Bullfinch Street, and there's signage all over North Attleboro. I was driving through there the other day. So the fun starts at 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. They have great food, lots of music. They have a horseshoe tournament with lots of great prizes, raffles, and it's all for a great cause. Also, in Attleboro, the Portuguese American Club's 66th annual barbecue goes on today and tomorrow. Today it starts from noon to 11:30. And on Sunday, it starts from noon to 10 p.m. So it's fun for the whole family. Great food, barbecue chicken, shish kebab, fava beans, Cape Cod fish, and, of course, great-tasting blade meat sandwiches. Never had one. Should try it, I guess. But there'll be lively entertainment and lots of fun for kids. Sunday, Santana will be performing at Mohegan Sun at 7:30. Tickets are $40 and up. I had gone many years ago. He puts on a huge three-hour extravaganza. It's not even a show. He is one of the best guitar players you will ever hear. And if you have a chance to head on out and do something and see an extraordinary performer, Santana is one of the best shows you will ever see. Again, he's playing at Mohegan Sun at 7:30. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't say every Thursday at Capron Park and the Newell Pavilion at Capron Park. We have bands performing every Thursday night at 6:30 to 8. Andy Solberg will be performing this Thursday. It's free to the community, so bring a chair, blanket, and enjoy a wonderful summer concert. And on next Saturday, I wanted to let you know that we are not going to be here. I will be taking a vacation, so there'll be the Best of Out and About show. We'll be playing it in our absence, and we'll be back on August 29th. But on August 23rd, next Sunday, there'll be a running of Julia, a butterfly 5K race. It'll be held at the World War I Memorial Park in North Attleboro. Registration starts at 8 a.m. The run begins at 10. And more information will be appearing throughout the week. And I'm going to leave this handout for Dominic and Paul and Dave if they want to read up on it. It's a wonderful little garden. Parents had raised a lot of money for World War I, and they created this wonderful Julia's butterfly garden because she loved butterflies. And I have taken my children there many times, and we've enjoyed it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful exhibition and tribute to her. Also, in Providence, there's a Bolivian family event. It's located near the Kennedy Plaza and the skating rink. It starts at 2 p.m. It goes till 10 p.m. Come on down, listen to some great music, eat some really great, authentic Bolivian food. This festival is one of the liveliest in the cities, and it's family-friendly. And there's even a parade that's going to be kicking off, too. Also in Coventry, the annual Washington County Fair continues through Sunday. It's located on Route 112, Richmond, Rhode Island. Come on down. There's lots of family fun. It's like a 4-H club thing with livestock, tractor pulls, horse pull, a farm museum. There's going to be concerts and a midway full of kids rides, too, and lots of fun and games. Today it's open from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Sunday it starts at 9 a.m. My pick for this week, five favorite movies of mine that I want to see. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Now, I remember the TV show, and I always had a crush on David McCallum's character, the blonde. I know it's too... Mike's looking at me like, who? Anyway, his character was Ilya Kuryakin, and he played a Russian spy, but he had that savoir-faire, as we French say, and it was just really... I digress. They did make a movie on it. It looks like it's very fast-paced, action-packed. I have to check it out. And, of course, the Minion movie is here. Ricky and the Flash. The fourth pick, I say, is Southpaw, only because I am a left-handed person. And Chris Farley, they came out with a movie. It's a documentary for a limited run. So those are my picks there. Okay, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We've got to take a quick break, and on the flip side, there's more Out and Abouts. We'll be right back after these messages.
Everyday elegance of early 19th century clothing for ladies and gentlemen will be the focus at Old Sturbridge Village on Saturday, August 15th and Sunday, the 16th. Old Sturbridge Village has played a vital role in preserving early American history for nearly 70 years. And if you're interested in 1830s fashions and period dress, Textile Weekend will be an event you don't want to miss. For more information, call 1-800-733-1830. That's 1-800-733-1830.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-10-9-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Women now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
Harvard Medical School has now opened its doors to new female applicants.
The first woman is now in space.
The majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Sow seeds of hope and enjoy a signature meal, topped off by Dancing Under the Stars on Friday, August 21st from 6 to 10 p.m. at Attleboro Farms on Hickory Road in North Attleboro. This farm-to-table dinner is held in partnership with local growers and food artisans to benefit the On Common Ground Mentor Center. Get your tickets early at Attleboro Farms and at the Attleboro Farmers Market. For more information, call On Common Ground at 508-226-0801.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and I have to say thank you, Michael Catanzara, for coming up here and keeping me on track here. At 7:35, we have our latest weather update with our own wonderful WAR 1320 meteorologist Jim Corbin will be calling in. And prior to our break, we were talking about so many things that are happening, and one thing is really interesting. George Washington is out and about himself. Actually, the person that portrays him at Mount Vernon is actually here, and actually is called Washington Returns to Providence. It'll take place today at the John Brown House on Power Street, and basically there's going to be he's the Mount Vernon official historical George Washington, and he is here, and there's going to be a walking tour. It's a family-friendly event, and it's free. And everyone can come on down, and he will give the history of George Washington. And it's going to be quite remarkable. And that's today. I can't believe that I'm going to miss that, darn it all. But on a lighter note, I do have a history. Actually, George Washington actually did ride through the Old Post Road, which is Route 1, and came to Israel Hatch's Tavern in North Attleboro. And actually, Attleboro and North Attleboro were, back in the day, silversmiths. And not only did Paul Revere have the silver there, and his silversmithing, I should say, but Israel Hatch also had a lot of jewelry, and knee buckles back then were very popular. So when George Washington pulled into Israel Hatch's tavern, he noticed that Israel Hatch had these beautiful silver ornate knee buckles, and he admired them so much that he gave them to George Washington. So they swapped knee buckles. So George took Israel Hatch's, and Israel Hatch actually had a pair of George Washington's knee buckles too. So years later, if you go down to Mount Vernon, you will actually see there is a display on acrylic, and I've seen it when I lived in Baltimore. I said, who is Israel Hatch? Never realizing, 7 years later, I'd be actually living in North Attleboro and actually taking a tour of the Israel Hatch tavern. And actually, that's true. George Washington's knee buckles were missing when I inquired about them years and years ago. So hopefully they are back on display, because that's a history of George Washington that really hit home. And that's a true story, folks. So listen, if you're getting out and about, the Attleboro Farmers Market is in its fifth season now, and it's already up and running at O'Connell Field at near Capron Park. There were 27 vendors when I visited, and if you remember, it was over in the Finberg Field, but they decided that they were going to move it to O'Connell Field, and I had Tony Viveras on a few last week and was talking about they may continue that as well. But let me tell you, those vendors are just wonderful, and we have organic farmers. I mean, it is just really great. They have everything and anything from vegetables and wine, beer. I bought some beautiful, it was just really great tasting maple syrup But they have everything and anything. There's arts and crafts there. And I came and I counted 27 vendor booths, but they were saying that they were going to be getting even more vendors. So check it out. It's very convenient. There's signage all over County Street, so you can't miss it. And you can go down any one of these side streets, and it'll bring you right to the field. And it's just really wonderful. It's actually within walking distance of my home. So I think it's really great. Again, the location is called O'Connell Field, and it's parking is at the Attleboro High School along Blue Pride Way. But also you can go down any of the side streets, and there are different parking lots you can actually park by the field. So have you been there? Have you had a chance to go there yet, Mike, or not yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, my goodness. It's really, really wonderful. Yeah.
I like, this is a, you know what's funny? I drive by it,
mm-hmm.
coming in and out of here, but I've never actually spent
time to pull in?
Yeah, and drive around. It was tempting last week. I almost did. But my wife had lived here many years ago when she was a kid, lived in Attleboro. She grew up in Attleboro.
Mm-hmm.
And I should ask her if she's ever been in there.
It's just really a great experience. I always like to do, even in business, I always buy from local vendors. Like, I'll support the local businesses. And but these vendors are just really phenomenal. I'm waiting for, like, the plum tomatoes. They're not out yet. They should be out in another week or two. And I get, like, a half a bushel of them. And I'll make spaghetti sauce with them. And then I freeze it. And so all winter long I'll have...
Wait a minute. You're not Italian. You don't... How do you do that? You must have, like, a French spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, it's a French. Yeah, it has another kick. And, of course, we French love our wine, so we have to put a little wine in it. So.
Oh, there you go. Now,
yes,
there are farmers markets where I live. It happens, like, I think either Monday or Tuesday in mm-hmm. East Greenwich.
Right.
And then there's another one in downtown Providence, believe it or not.
Really?
And I don't know which day it is. I always have to go through it or go by it to get to the bus.
Right.
So, you know, it's funny. I always hear about how awesome these farmers market things are. And they do look like the one in East Greenwich. I was driving by the last one. And I just happened to notice that there were even booths there that were set up that you can actually eat already prepared food.
Wow. That is a perk.
And there was a few other things there. That almost made me want to just stop and walk around. But I said, you know, I live walking distance of this. Why can't I, you know, why shouldn't I just be able to get in get in my shoes and walk over there
mm-hmm.
and buy some
fresh
fruit and vegetables?
Yes.
Because this is the time of the year to be enjoying that.
Right.
You know, the more fresh and local that we eat, the better it is for our bodies.
Exactly. Exactly. Folks, if you have a memory we'd like to share with us, we invite you to call us at 508-222-1320. Again, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we are remembering our beloved mayor, Judy Robbins. And on studio that just walked in is my dear friend, Tony Viveras. How are you today, Tony?
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
I'll let you get going and put your ears on so you can hear me. So Tony's going to be talking to us a little bit, and then on the flip side of Jim Corbin's break, we'll continue our talking about remembering our wonderful mayor and all the great things she has done. So it's been a very sad, sad week this week, Tony, huh?
Yeah, it has. It's amazing that, you know, with somebody in the public eye such as Judy, who was made her mark in Attleboro, anywhere you drive through Attleboro, you could tribute some building or some program that's tied with Judy Robbins. And sometimes we as human beings take things for granted and just assume that we're all going to live to a ripe and rosy age. But, you know, it was a complete shock. And I have to tell you, I mean, I've been associated with Judy for many years. I was a campaign manager for three of her re-elections. And in some cases, it was easy to be a campaign manager because she had such a record of accomplishments here. And I've often been approached by some people that just assume that Judy was Attleboro born and Attleboro raised. And I tell them, no, she came from the West Coast to the East Coast. And it seems like that when she was living on the West Coast. Somebody assigned her in life that you're going to be in charge of Attleboro. And when she got done with her schooling out at Stanford, she came out here, married Marcus, and, you know, and it's been her ever since the mid-60s to now, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a great mayor, a tragedy. I know that the Mayor Dumas is putting a tribute on Wednesday night at the Robert H. Bray Auditorium, and that place holds about 1,200 people, and I expect that there'll be a pretty good crowd there. So.
Yes, indeed. She leaves a long legacy, that's for sure, of everything. I drive by Capron Park almost every day, and I look at that beauty, and she was just she was so dedicated to that park, to making it sure that it was it had the funding that it needed to be spectacular. And then the downtown and yeah, all the areas, you know.
Oh, man, I could tell you, I don't know how much time we have till the break, but I mean, let me see if I can remember the schools. It was Studley School, complete rehab. Peter Thatcher, which was a junior high school, she converted that to an elementary school. That was a complete rehab. Coelho Middle School in South Attleboro, complete rehab. Wamsutter, brand new school. Brennan, brand new school. I know I've missed a couple of schools. Water treatment plant, the library, complete renovation and addition. Did I say the water treatment? Yeah, the
yes,
water treatment facility.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and on. And she did, I think, probably two or three phases of the sewer extension and the upgrades of the uplifts. And that could be public. She got a lot of critics on. And I think any mayor that does phases of sewer gets a lot of criticism because, first of all, it disrupts traffic for months, even most, sometimes up to a year. And secondly, since the sewer is paid one-third by federal money, one-third by city money, and then the other third of the cost is put on to the homeowners. And, you know, you get a lot of people that don't want to hook up to the sewer, but they still have to pay for the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lot of that. And, you know, you think of it, sewers are not one of those tangible things that you see. It's underground. She didn't have to do it, but she knew that she had to do it to keep up the system in Attleboro, you know. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, and, you know, despite her, when she had a stroke back in 96, and a lot of people were thinking that she wasn't going to run for re-election for mayor, and she decided to do so, a lot of people felt that maybe she shouldn't be elected because of her handicap and her disability. People would see her walking when she first got out with a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she had a slow walk with that walker, grass did not grow under her feet. And when it came to re-elections time, when she sat down at that table and to debate, people tended to forget about her disability because she was smart, she had a wit, and she knew what she was had to do. And I think that was the key to her success because of her accomplishments and her approach to a city administration, and she did that well.
She did.
Yep.
We do have to take a
okay,
quick break before Jim Corbin signs on. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The City of Attleboro and the Park Commission is proud to announce another great season of summer concerts to be held at Capron Park in the Newell Shelter. The concerts are free and open to the public and will run from June 27th through August 29th every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. So get those lawn chairs ready and let the summer concerts begin. For more information, feel free to call Terry Conti at the Park and Forestry Department at 774-203-1865.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation in this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird.
Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The 20th annual South Attleboro Lions Club Antique Car Show will take place on Sunday, August 23rd at La Salette Shrine in Attleboro. Registration will be open from 8 a.m. to noon. Judging takes place from noon to 1 with an award ceremony at 3. Hundreds of cars will compete in 48 classes. Proceeds for the event benefit South Attleboro Lions Club charities. For more information on the car show, call Bob at 508-761-4149.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and in studio I have Mike Catanzara on my board keeping me going. Thanks, Mike. And also in studio, a very special guest, Tony Viveras, and we were talking about our former Judy Robbins, who passed away this Monday. Also, coming up shortly, we have an update of our wonderful weather, and hopefully we'll be okay this weekend and next week, so we're going to have to see what's going on. We will not be on next Saturday, just so you know. I'm taking a little bit of a break and heading out of town. I'm getting out of town.
Is this a volunteer thing, or is it, are you being forced out of town?
It depends on who you talk to. No, I'm actually taking my sister. She's from Yorktown, Virginia. She's up here for a visit. So we're doing a sister road trip.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
And what's your itinerary? What, you mean around here?
No, I'm taking her from West Warwick, Rhode Island, back to Virginia, and I'm staying down there for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to go to Williamsburg, and I guess. Thanks, Mike. We have Jim Corbin on. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine. Well, and good morning, everyone else there. We've got. I'll tell you, it's been a summer that has not had a lot of intense heat and humidity. We're going to keep that theme going, but we're also going to increase the chances that we're going to have an extended period, though, of warm and humid weather for the next several days. So if you like warmer temperatures than what we've had recently and you like somewhat higher humidities, you will like the next few days. Now, we do have some cloudiness around at the moment, not exactly bright and sunny, but that is going to thin out, and we're going to have some sunshine, a bit of haze today, and very warm, humid conditions, high temperatures in the upper 80s. With winds out of the southwest. Now, at the south coast beaches, the high tides this weekend will be mid-morning, on average between around 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning, and the low tides will be in the mid-afternoon around 3 o'clock. Tough sleeping weather, though, over the next several nights, as the temperatures only fall tonight to the upper 60s by morning, still, though, in the 70s much of the night. So if you're a problem with that, you're probably going to want to have, at the very least, a good fan going, or an air conditioner, if you can deal with that. Then tomorrow, it's hot, humid weather, high temperatures around 90. Again, all these temperatures are away from the immediate coast. So, again, it's just a really good beach or a pool or jumping in the lake weekend coming up. 90 degrees tomorrow, it's hot and humid, and then it's more of the same for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, I didn't mention this just a minute ago. This afternoon and early this evening, there's a pretty good chance that many of us will get a quick shower or a thunder shower. Nothing severe, but if anything, that'll just cool things off and then keep it kind of humid as we go through the rest of tonight. Hot, humid weather Monday, Tuesday, probably now into Wednesday, with temperatures each day upper 80s to near 90. There'll be a chance of some cooling later on in the week. And each afternoon or evening, especially by Tuesday and Wednesday, a shower or a thunder shower to quickly cool things off will take place. The pollen counts continue moderately high. So far, over the last few weeks, it's been the grass pollen. We just started over the last couple of days to see ragweed get involved in the pollen. So the problem we'll have with that is that it'll just get a little worse for those that are susceptible. Obviously, most people aren't, but many are. So, again, a very warm and humid stretch of weather right into much of next week.
Wow.
You know, Jim, it sounds good to me, warm and humid. It certainly beats the weather we had in late January and February.
I think most would agree with that, Tony. And again, we're still not going to see anything extremely hot or humid, but we have not had so far this summer several straight days of it. It seems like it comes for a day or two and then it's gone. This time, beginning today and probably at least into Wednesday, we're going to have almost every day up close to 90 degrees. So stay cool, everyone, I guess you'd say.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, you were saying about a passing shower. Do you know if it's going to be coming like around noontime or around
Probably
summertime?
More like 3, 4, 5 o'clock, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So cool. The earlier the better. As I've said to many times, I mentioned it to Dawn. We had a discussion about it the other day. A lot of the in the summertime, a lot of events, I've always said, if possible, should always be, not always, but should be scheduled in the morning or early afternoon, because 9 times out of 10, when it rains in the summertime, it's usually in the late afternoon or evening. So, for example, the events going on, at Capron Park this morning, from 9 to 1, that's good, because there's very little chance that there's going to be rain, because it usually doesn't rain in this situation in the morning and early afternoon. But the events that take place in the late afternoon or early evening, if they're scheduled, then, like concerts, so far we've been generally lucky, but those are the ones that have a better chance of being rained on. Now, again, if it's just a shower, it's not a big deal, but if it's a severe thunderstorm, like we saw, for example, a week or so ago, remember you saw that up in, was it New Hampshire or Maine, where I think two people were killed because of a severe thunderstorm at a tent, at a carnival or whatever it was. And sure enough, that was about 5:30 in the afternoon. So I always say, again, for example, the farmer's market, so far, I think, has had good weather for every Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've had.
And that's because the chances are much better, because the farmer's market starts at 9 o'clock and goes till 1. If the farmer's market was from like 3 to 6 o'clock or 3 to 7, not only is it always warmer then, well, most of the time, but there's a better chance of it getting rain on it. Now, again, not the end of the world to get rain, but severe weather it is. So I've always said that about all of you, and you're talking out and about with any event that's outdoors. It's always better in the summertime if you can't schedule it, especially on a weekend when less people are working. Schedule things in the mornings. I'd love to see concerts perhaps in the morning sometimes in the summertime. You have a better chance of not having to get rain or thunderstorms on you.
Yeah, but sometimes with a shower, you could be under cloudy skies, and 200 yards down the road it could be pouring someplace else. But, you know, Jim, having you given the forecast, this has been a great, great summer. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. I mean, not everyone does. There are people that, as I said last week, that would love it if it rained most of the time in the summer, because if they have a business that's indoors. But that's obviously the minority. I think most people would have agreed that this summer's great. There's been very few thunderstorms. I was talking about this with Dawn the other day, and I think maybe with Paul as well, that I can only remember it thundering or seeing or hearing thunder either 2 or 3 times this entire, even into the spring and summer, which again is for the most part good. It means we haven't had any really major severe threats. Now, we did, of course, a week or so ago in Rhode Island have some trees come down. And by the way, there is a air quality alert for much of central and southern Rhode Island. Kicks in at 11 o'clock this morning until 11 p.m. That's for high ozone levels. But overall, it's been, I agree, Tony, it's been really, I think, one of the better summers we've had in several years,
yeah.
Meaning not a lot of extreme heat and humidity, not a lot of thunderstorms to wreck events, like I just said, especially late afternoon or evening. And again, fairly comfortable sleeping at night. And of course, that means you don't have to waste your electric bill on running air conditioning as much as if it was a hot, humid summer, like that summer we had 2 summers ago, especially that terrible July. Well, terrible. It was one of the hottest Julys on record. We were having every day close to 100 degrees, and just rough stuff for the electric bill, because if you had air conditioning, you were certainly running it. This summer, I'd agree. It's not all that bad. But we will have several days coming up, upper 80s to near 90 beginning today.
Very good. I really appreciate you calling in. I was wondering, Jim, did you know or did you know of Mayor Robbins? Did you have any dealings in the city?
I met her at some event. Well, I lived in Attleboro from 1997 to 2003, and there was some event, might have been around 2000, and I think it was at Capron Park, and I just was there and just said hello to her. I never, you know, obviously dealt with her on a regular basis, but I remember saying hello to her. Shook her hand or whatever it was, because she was there for something. I can't even remember what the event was, but that was around 2000. But that's the only time I met her. But I knew of her, obviously, as the mayor.
Right.
I remember when there was that house explosion?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think it was George Street or whatever, and she was right out there talking to the press. Of course, it was a major story. It was tragic, obviously, but she did an excellent job with that. Trying to keep things calm and everything else. That was, I want to say, 1998, maybe.
Yeah, 98 or 99, I think it was.
Yeah,
May.
She did a lot, for the city, and so she will be missed.
Thank you, Jim. Well said. Thanks again, and listen, don't forget, I'm not going to be here next Saturday, so we'll catch up on August 29th.
Okay, sounds good. And that's the day of the next full moon. How about that, August 29th?
We can talk about that when I come back.
Well, I'll be howling.
the full sturgeon moon on the 29th, so we'll talk to you then.
All right, sounds good, Jim. Have a great week.
Bye, Jim.
Bye. Thanks. All right, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. On the flip side, our last 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Tony Viveras and regarding our wonderful, beloved mayor, Judy Robbins, and such a tragic loss. And our hearts go out to the family and all the city, of course. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We've got to take a quick break in our last 15 minutes of the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Learn about how the Attleboro City government and local agencies work to improve the lives of residents during a presentation at the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, August 13th at 6:30 p.m. Representatives from several Attleboro City departments and local organizations will be in attendance, including the Attleboro Council on Aging, the Attleboro Police Department, the Literacy Center, New Hope, and more. For more information, call the Attleboro Public Library at 508-222-0157.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there were only 4 people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their 4 faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sow seeds of hope and enjoy a signature meal topped off by Dancing Under the Stars on Friday, August 21st from 6 to 10 p.m. at Attleboro Farms on Hickory Road in North Attleboro. This farm-to-table dinner is held in partnership with local growers and food artisans to benefit the Uncommon Ground Mentor Center. Get your tickets early at Attleboro Farms and at the Attleboro Farmers Market. For more information, call On Common Ground at 508-226-0801.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and if you'd like to jump on the line and talk to us, I have in studio Mike Catanzaro is on the board. Thanks, Mike. And also in studio, my special guest is Tony Viveris. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Tony, can you give us a little bit of what's going on in the area, too, because there are some park and recreation activities and also some wonderful things that are happening in Capron Park.
Yeah, there's... Let me finish up on the summer concerts. There's only two summer concert series left.
Wow.
And this coming Thursday, is Andy Solberg, a local musician out of the Attleboro area. And he's been performing at Capron Park for probably 4 or 5 years. And he has quite a following. And then on the 27th, there's a young, youthful group. They're probably in their 30s by now, but to me, they're still young and youthful. Cactus Attack with Ryan Jackson. They sort of do rockabilly and that type of music. Very good group. And we usually try to have a variety of music throughout our summer concert series. And as usual, we're going to be short of money for next year, but hopefully we'll have a full summer concert for next year. But if you want to write out a check to our summer concert series, please do so. Just address it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Write out the check to the City of Attleboro, and on the memo line, just put Stone or Samuel M. Stone Concerts, and mail it to the Park Administration, 199 County Street, Attleboro, Mass., 02703, and put it to attention of Terry Conti, C-O-N-T-I.
Now, each concert that appears, right, is there a certain budget for each one or more? Like, does one band charge you more, or do you have a set budget of every week?
No, some
a certain amount.
Some groups charge a little more and others a little less, but they average out to be about $500 a night, which is
relatively very reasonable.
Oh, extremely reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, and there's one group called the Southeastern Massachusetts Community Concert Band, and there's got to be at least 20 musicians in that. And do the math, 20 into $500. After taxes, they probably owe the federal government money, you know. But, yeah, and so we budget for 8 concerts a year, about $4,400.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which is pretty good. And we want to keep it free.
Right.
Make it an enjoyable night. So we're lucky with that. And let me move on. Our next big function is at the Capron Park Zoo, put on by the Friends of Capron Park Zoo, who's a volunteer group and has raised a lot of money in supporting the zoo primarily. Not the grounds, but the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a wonderful job. And they've had this annual series, I think, probably for 4 or 5 years now. This year it's going to be the Passport to Ireland. And it'll be on September 12th, which is a Saturday evening, from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And I believe, don't quote me, I believe the fee is $40 for non-members, $35 for members.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all sorts of entertainment, and it'll be on the theme of Ireland, and the zoo will be all dressed up. That your ticket prices include entertainment, Irish food, and that's all complimentary. The only thing I think you pay for is the for a wine and beer,
okay.
But other than that, it's a fun-filled night. I've been to a couple of them, and they're really nice. And you know, September. In the evening, it's just right, the temperature, and it's just a beautiful time. And the zoo is all lit up, and
Oh, nice.
You know, the animals are out. And you know.
So you can walk around the zoo as well?
Oh, yeah, everything.
Oh.
So, wonderful night. So, you know, and the zoo's had some great publicity and a lot of attention with the food trucks and...
Oh, yes, that's right. The last one where all the families went, my son and his family went there.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They
and
had
so... the place was packed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming off the highway, I was saying, why is all this traffic?
I know,
La Salette Shrine isn't open yet. And I'm realizing, oh, wait a minute. It's the zoo.
Zubu. With the food trucks.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah, they
was
had
it the zoo or the moon? Zoo. Oh, man, I forget now.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. But everybody had a great time. Yeah. He did say that there were long lines for the food trucks, but it was well worth it. And the atmosphere was such a family event.
You know, just a wonderful atmosphere.
You
know, the food trucks are the things
the draw,
that bring people
I know.
In, you know?
Yes.
Man, geez, so.
So when are you going to start yours?
Oh, that is a thought, though, you know.
I could see your eyes light up with that, that whole thing. But, yeah, they're very popular, and they're so good. And a lot of people are starting to do that business. It's just really amazing. I work in Providence, and they have them all lined up at Kennedy Plaza. And people go down there for lunches, and they come back, and it's like fabulous dinners. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and they have a variety, right, from truck to truck.
Yeah, from Mexican, Spanish, Asian, Italian, anything.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep.
So that's what's going on with the park.
Right.
And let me get back to Mayor Rob. Mayor Robbins for a moment. You have in your hand the notification of the public memorial service for Judy.
Yeah, but you can read it. You can
this
let us
Wednesday.
Know. Yeah.
And the public memorial service is going to be held on August 19th, which is this coming Wednesday night, at the Robert H. Bray Auditorium at the Attleboro High School on Rathbun-Willer Drive, and that'll start at 6 o'clock. The memorial service will include a variety of speakers and the words from clergy and moments of reflection. Light refreshments will be served, proper dress is required, and also the family, the Robbins family, is going to be present in the audience, but request that attendees value their privacy at this particular time in emotional hardship. There'll be no receiving line, but they do thank the public and attendees for the kind thoughts and prayers for both Judy and her surviving family. I know that Judy doted on her two children, Andrew and Janet, who live out in the Seattle area, and when they had grandchildren, she used to travel out there quite a bit to visit them and talk about often. I met Andrew a while back, but I don't believe I met Janet, but Andrew would become involved in the campaigns of Judy occasionally from time to time, but you know.
If you can recall some of the fondest things that you know about her, what would be some of them?
You know, whenever we set her up for a debate, sometimes Judy would get angered and defensive, and whenever we went into a debate night, we'd always say to Judy, "Think fuzzy, think warm," and we had to remind her of that, and she came across so well and diplomatically so well, you know.
Oh, sure.
You know, and those are the things that you work out with the campaign. We had a difficult time when we had former Mayor Keene, run against Judy. That was one of the toughest campaigns because Judy was very thin-skinned during election time. And with Mayor Keene and Judy running against head-to-head, they had a lot of mutual friends.
Oh, right.
And I remember one instance, Chief Saborn and I was sitting in Judy's office, and we were talking about the election, and Judy heard that somebody was supporting Mayor Keene. And I said, well, you know, they're a friend. And Judy would say, well, that's my friend, too. And she'd break down and cry, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But that was one of the toughest parts of an election, when you have friends that either throw their support or stay out of it, and you know. But she was successful in the end, and, you know, she made it to the finish line, and that was the most important thing. You know, and as her being, I met Judy back in 1986 when I first ran for council, and there was a vacancy on the council, which was filled by the councilors at that particular time. So I needed 6 votes to get on the council. And I didn't know Judy, and I didn't know if she was going to support me, but I sat down with her, talked to her, and she did support me, and I got on by a 6-4 vote. So, and from then on, we were very good friends.
Yes, you were. I know. Our time is almost up, Tony, and I appreciate you coming up. No, that's okay. I just wanted you to come on and talk to us a little bit more about Mayor Robinson. She surely will be missed. She's lived, and she's left a great legacy for the city of Attleboro. I know Attleboro is very saddened by the loss of Mayor Judy Robbins, and I know that this memorial from our current mayor is he's just a class act. He really is Mayor Dumas, and we thank him for that, too. I think
Absolutely.
A lot of folks are going to be coming to that event. Unfortunately, I'll be driving at that time to Virginia, but my heart goes out to the family, and we all extend our deepest sympathies and condolences to the Robbins family and extended family and friends as well. So,
and before you push me off the air, I just want to wish you a happy vacation.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. So without further ado, I'm going to wrap up our show. We'll be out of town next week. So we will have a show, but it'll be the best of Out and About, and it'll return live in the studio on August 29th. Thanks for listening to Out and About with Elaine. My show is on every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8. Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 10, followed by Paul Healy. And thanks, Mike and Jim, for working with me today. You always keep my show running very smoothly. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening, and meet me back here on August 29th. And let's keep the conversation going, and I hope you, too, get out and about yourself. Thank you, everyone.